Buenos días, Santa Fe, Nuevo Mexico. Good morning, Santa Fe. Here we are again on Suave Radio, 99.9 FM, 81.0 AM, 810 AM, and quesuaveradio.com on your internet capability. It's another time with a great interview coming up, I am Arturo Gonzalez, and my co-host is
Larry Martinez.
And this is Health Para Todos, again on Que Suave Radio. And our program, Health Para Todos, is brought to you by whom, Larry?
It's brought to you by Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center, Presbyterian Medical Services, the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department, and the Quinalma Foundation.
All right. You know, we've been lucky. We've had some excellent guests the last few times.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have some excellent guests today because, I mean, we just go for quality, you know? And I know we
Well, that's how we won the award, you know.
Which award? Which did we win?
This was the National New Mexico Broadcasters Association Award for the best talk show in a large market area.
Great. Yeah, we're proud of that. We always say that.
Of course, that was 2016, so that's 6 years ago.
Yeah, so we got to see. We can get nominated. We're going to have to nominate ourselves again. And I want to congratulate you and your corporation, Larry, for winning, coming out on one of the top best places in New Mexico to work.
Absolutely, yes.
So people go apply at PMS.
Well, let's commend the Albuquerque Journal for running that program where they do recognize businesses that are best places to work. And there were four categories: small businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses, and extra-large businesses. And Presbyterian Medical Services, given the fact that we've got about 1,300 employees, we fit into the extra-large business category, and we're among six organizations that were recognized for that award. And
we're going to nominate Health Para Todos for that award too.
Okay.
On Que Suave. Okay. But we'll be in the monkey business category, you know.
Is that must be smaller than the small business.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Well, Larry, we're fortunate. Did you want to say anything else on that award?
Oh no, just want to thank all the very dedicated and committed employees at Presbyterian Medical Services, with whom I've been working now close to 23 years.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that was after 27 years in state government. So, and I was telling our guests who are with us today that I happened to be an employee in their department many years ago. I was in the Medicaid program, and then I was deputy secretary many years ago. But and I have nothing but fond memories of that department. But I do want to thank all the great employees at Presbyterian Medical Services who do a wonderful job, work very hard. And we're in the business of health care, early childhood services development. We also do senior citizen programs and some developmental disability programs. And of course, Medicaid is one of our biggest payers. We take a disproportionate number of poor people. And being a federally qualified health center, we turn no one away for ability to pay or inability to pay or citizenship status.
Good. So, thanks. Well, you guys certainly deserve it, Larry, and I'm glad that you did get it along with your colleagues at PMS. Mm-hmm. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, mi gente de Nuevo México, Santa Fe, you paying attention here, Esteban? Okay, thank you. Today, we are very fortunate to have two representatives from the New Mexico Office of Peer Recovery Support. And Larry, I'll let you introduce them, but that's the office that we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely, and I understand it's the Office of Peer Recovery and Support, which is a part of the Behavioral Health Services Division of the New Mexico Human Services Department. So that was my old department, loved it, enjoyed all the years I was there, and they're doing a great job, and believe it or not, I'm still not divorced from that department because I'm still serving as the Medicaid Advisory Committee Chairman for the Human Services Department.
You gotta let go, brother.
I keep trying to get somebody else elected, but nobody else will take the job. So.
Okay.
So. But let me introduce Melissa Montaño, who is the program manager for the Office of Peer Recovery and Support. And also one of her colleagues with us today, too, is Nathan Lawson, who is a training and development specialist with that organization also.
Wonderful.
So tell us what is new now, what's going on at the Human Services Department that's new, and then we'll get into talking about precisely what your office does and why it's of importance to the citizens of the state.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Muchísimas gracias. Thank you for having the Office of Peer Recovery and Engagement here today. Mm-hmm. I like the way you mentioned it, peer support, because that's what it is. From the heart, del corazón, my name is Melissa Montaño. I am the program manager for this amazing, amazing program under BHSD, and HSD as our department. You know what? You mentioned something earlier, Larry. I love that you said human services, we serve humans.
Absolutely.
You know, so you, and thank you for still, you know, using your expertise to be on that amazing council to help us. You know, I'm a woman in long-term recovery.
Mm-hmm.
7/17 of 2010, I made the conscious decision to become a better human being and give back to my communities and to my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 12 years of continuous sobriety.
Congratulations.
That's a real
marvelous
accomplishment.
You know? Thank you.
That's a
Thank
wonderful
you.
Accomplishment.
And what how I look at that is that I get to be a program manager at this level. I'm from northern New Mexico, Tierra Maria, Ensenada. I was raised in Ensenada. I have two amazing, beautiful parents and brothers and familia from up north, but I make my home here in Tezuque because of umpteenth treatment facilities that I was a guest at, should I say, in and out of treatment centers, jails, institutions. That's my story, but we're here to talk about the good part of our lives today, and that we get to lead and be examples for the state of New Mexico in the peer support program.
Right.
So with that being said, you know, yes, I'm a woman in long-term recovery, and I love what we do at the state of New Mexico and at that level.
Let me just say it's wonderful to have a fellow Norteña here on the program, because I grew up in Velarde, which was on the other side of the Mesa there from Tierra Maria, but spent a lot of time in Tierra Maria, which is the county seat of Rio Riba County. And spent a lot of time in front of county commission meetings. So,
I thought you were going to say in front of the judge.
Well, I could have, but no, I didn't. So, good. And Nathan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, Nathan.
Tell us about your background and where you come from and how you got to where you are.
Most definitely. Thank you, sir. And thank you for having us both here. It's an honor to be able to share about the Office of Peer Recovery and Engagement and what peer support workers do in the state of New Mexico. My name is Nathan Lawson. I'm a person in long-term recovery. And what that means for me is that for the past 8 years, I have not had to use drugs or alcohol.
All right, Nathan.
To cope with everyday life. And thank you, man. It's truly a miracle.
Well, you got that sparkle in your eyes.
Thank you, man.
You know?
That's that recovery sparkle.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
And myself as well, I'm from New Mexico, lived here all my life. The only time I stepped away from our beautiful state was when I served in the military. I served a couple years in the Army.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the funny thing about recovery is that no matter where we go, there we are, right? Mm-hmm. It's like no matter what mirror you look in and where you are, you're still going to be looking at you, right? You know, I'm just really honored to be a peer support worker, right? Mm-hmm. Because as a peer support worker, we're able to share that hope with other folks. You know, I remember a time in my life where I vividly remember thinking to myself, there's no other way that I can live my life. This is what I know. This is what my, you know, my family has done. This is what my cousins, you know, my uncles, my aunts. This
you mean
is what
when
they
you
do.
Were in the period of addiction?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that was how you framed your life.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I knew. And, you know, recovery became an option for me when I met someone else who looked like me, walked like me, and who sounded like me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference was they had a certain amount of time away from the substances and lifestyle choice, right? And for me, watching that person speak, I remember seeing the twinkle in his eye, right?
Uh-huh.
I remember her standing before us dressed nicely. He spoke well, right? Mm-hmm. And he had that recovery glow. And I just remember thinking to myself, how did this guy, you know, he was talking about he's been to prison, you know, he's involved with gangs. And I'm looking at the guy and I don't see no tattoos on his face, mm-hmm. right? I don't see no dickies or bandanas or lokes or, mm-hmm. you know, none of these things that we used as youth, right? And for me, that's when recovery became a reality for me, right? I was able to learn from him and just follow in his footsteps. So
you just made that decision.
Well, Nathan, mm-hmm. you probably in just what you said right now, you sort of summed up what peer support is all
about.
Pretty much. Yeah. Because what you recognized was here was somebody who's had similar experiences to yours, and they've made it out. Mm-hmm. And that's why peer support is so important to us, because it's easy for someone who's never been there to tell others how to get out.
Yeah, but they have to get out. Yeah, yeah.
Right, but it's much more powerful when the message comes from somebody who's been down that same road and Absolutely. Has gotten out, you know. So, well, let me ask you a question. Were you addicted while you were in the military,
Did it happen afterwards?
Okay. When I went into the military, I was able to stay right through basic combat training and AIT. Mm-hmm. I was able to stay away from the substances because mm-hmm. they just weren't around and it wasn't an option, right?
Right.
So as soon as I got done with AIT, right, it just started with the alcohol, and at the end mm-hmm. at the end of that bottle was the cocaine, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of that bag was the next bag, mm-hmm. And it just went from there, just snowballed, and that was my pattern of behavior. Was I was able to build up to a point in my life where I was successful. I'd get successful, I'd had everything going for me, and my pattern of behavior was self-sabotage, right? Mm-hmm. I'd get to where I was going, I thought I was okay, picked the substance back up, and fell right back down, That was the pattern.
Well, we'll get to the announcements a little bit
Absolutely.
Later, okay? Because you guys got us on a good track here now.
every word you say is so full of meaning. Talking about the power of being peer support and so forth. And then, Nathan, your experience of having fallen back after making progress and so forth. That's another thing we've talked about here on the program, is that recovery's not a destination. It's sort of a journey, and part of getting through that journey is knowing there are going to be setbacks, knowing that there are going to be times of weakness and times when we need to go back to dependency on whatever is allowing us to live. Mm-hmm. But so the message you've already given to us today is one powerful message.
Really, really.
Nathan's a powerful person.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that he works, and when he interviewed for this position, at the BHSD, I saw that mm-hmm. because I wanted to work with someone who walked and talked and had experiences like me. And because of that, our partnership works really well at BHSD, and our lived experience, mm-hmm. Being from Northern New Mexico myself, my story isn't Nathan's story, but I get it and I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 5 years old, I lost my grandfather to murder in 1968. He was, you might remember his name, Eulogio Salazar.
Oh, yes. He was the jailer up in Rio.
Oh, that was when they had the raid.
Courthouse raid happened the year before, right?
Uh-huh. So he's on my arm. Mm-hmm. And the Virgen de Guadalupe is also on my arm because we're very cultural. And, mm-hmm. Back in Tierra Maria and those are everywhere, a lot of us spent a lot of time with our grandparents,
Sure, they brought you up in some ways.
Absolutely. And when I was five, and that hero, my first hero, my second hero, because my father's my hero, was like stripped away. Not only was there trauma, and I didn't know at five, but when I picked up alcohol, like Nathan talks about the alcohol, everything went away for me. I had found my best friend again.
How old were you when you picked it up?
I was 12.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because I know a lot of friends who have dealt with particularly alcohol and then they've graduated, but they picked it up when they were 12, 13 years old. It wasn't, like now we've talked about, hey, don't start at that age because it affects your brain. There's some health issues, and we've really tried on this program, and the departments have, to try to get that word out. But when we were growing up, that wasn't there.
No.
It was natural to pick up a beer and with a gang and stuff. But anyway, go ahead. And
12, you know, at 12, not full blown, no way. But at 21, I was masking stuff. Mm-hmm. I was masking, you know, a historical trauma hit that community. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going on. Losing one of the most biggest people in my life at 5, I didn't realize it. Later on, I did. It was part, you know, and it was a woman in the form of a peer who was a sponsor that made me put stuff on paper. She also said to me, Melissa, you know, it's not my job as a sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous, because that was my route. Mm-hmm. There's many routes I use now to recovery, to keep up my maintenance program, you know. She said to me, we do not deliver people home in pine boxes. And that's what I see coming for you. You know, because I was the type of alcoholic that was very loud. I also lost custody of a beautiful little boy who was 9 years old at that time. See, when God has given the female the gift of bearing life to another human being. And alcohol was so powerful, and the drugs were so powerful in my life that
they dominated.
They dominated every ounce of motherhood in me, because I looked at my tías, no, and my mother, she did an amazing job. My abuelita lived to be 3 months shy of 100, who was like my biggest supporter, and, you know, she went to heaven, you know, 3 months shy of 100. And she gave us all like a few people in her family a la bendición, and said, I'm good now. You know, she got to see me clean and sober for 4 years before she passed. So that is what alcoholism and drug addiction took for me.
You know, I think, Larry, Melissa and Nathan, am I growing something here, brother? Melissa and Nathan shared their story, you know. I mean, they have it printed out and they shared it. And I thought to myself, wow, that takes a heck of a lot of courage to do that, to share that with people like you have just done. And thank you for that. I think that's very courageous of you.
You're welcome.
Let me to continue that, and I know Larry feels that way too. Where are these people, these peer support specialists? Where are they? Are they? How do you get a hold of them? I mean, you know, like you say, you ran into one, you got one from...
We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, well, where are you? And so that if someone listening here says, man, I got to get in touch with one of those people, where are you guys?
Yeah, as matter of fact, you know, this is... I'd like to take the opportunity to announce about the new mechanism that's rolling out within the state of New Mexico. And the Office of Peer Recovery and Engagement has had the honor in supporting this mechanism. This new mechanism is in place to support individuals who may be experiencing mental health and or behavioral health crisis. We want to send a big shout out to the NM Crisis and Access Line, as well as protocol, to include the crisis triage centers, who are also going to be a part of this mechanism, providing direct care. This mechanism is 988. Right.
Oh, okay. We've heard about that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the mechanism is really designed, right, for folks who may be experiencing any behavioral health, mental health crisis, and that could include substance abuse, right, since we're talking about substance misuse here. And the number is 988, right? So
just
instead of
dial
calling,
it. Yeah. Just those three digits.
Three digits.
Yeah.
Right. And let me just to piggyback off of what Nathan said. So it's 988 is a new free 24/7 confidential lifeline that is now available if you or someone you know is experiencing mental health distress or worried about alcohol or drug use. Please call, text, or chat 988 to be connected to trained professionals who will compassionately listen to connect you to local resources. Hope is three numbers away. 988.
Okay.
And you can learn more about it at 988nm.org.
That's the URL, what they say,
yes.
The internet site.
Yes.
Okay, so that's set up, and but let me ask you this. we have that resource, but how do you reach out to get peer support workers? I mean, you got to staff this thing. Mm-hmm. You want other people like yourselves to be involved. How do you get those people?
Well,
how do you become a peer support specialist?
Well, this is a good part. The program is a training program. And we have, I'm going to let, because this is Nathan's wheelhouse. He talks great about the training part of the program. And then I can talk a little bit about the vetting, because it's not only, you know, working at the Office of Peer Recovery and Engagement as, and you know, doing a lot of admin stuff, we lose
touch
with like where we, you know, not, of course, never of where we came from, but being in the trenches, talking to folks that have stories similar to us. So that's where we get to listen to hope so that we can get back that tall glass of water, mm-hmm. you know, so that we can remember, hey, man, you know what? You're in the right place. You called the right number to inquire about our program. Mm-hmm. So when we get them into a class after the vetting, mm-hmm. you know, Nathan can talk about the requirements and how to get a hold of us to get into a training. I'll just say one thing. When Nathan and I started at this position about 3 years ago, in fact, we did. I celebrated 3 years on the 26th of August with BHSD. I'm employable today. As peer support workers, we have options and we get to, and we're employable. We show up, we're accountable. Mm-hmm. State government, we now know what vacation time is. We get to, you know, we've got the sick leave if we need it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were times in my life that I worked at places where I depleted all that. I depleted mm-hmm. the agencies that had trust in me. And personally, we get to make amends to our communities, to our worker, to our mm-hmm. employers, to the state of New Mexico, because they deserve what we have.
You know, while listening to you, I'm just so many things are going through my mind, but I'm also thinking of if you reached sort of the bottom when you were in your addiction experiences, and yet you're able to get out and be now productive, hardworking citizens. Mm-hmm. I think that's a demonstration that anybody can do it.
Yes.
If you can do it, anybody can do it. And I was thinking of what you said about your grandmother dying, and what better gift could you have given mm-hmm. her than 4 years of sobriety before she died? That must have been a wonderfully reassuring message to her before she passed, you know? So
yes, sir. Me and my parents, my mom and dad, they sleep at night. They sleep at night tonight. And my brothers.
And there were probably many years when they didn't,
yes.
because they were worried about you.
Yeah, they worried about your kids.
Mm-hmm. Very worried. So we're hope dealers instead of dope dealers.
You know,
we instill hope. The word hope to us at Opry is hold on, pain ends. You know, mm-hmm. hold on. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, we're examples of recovery, and recovery is possible, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're living proof. There's about 600 of us certified peer support workers
in the state.
You know, we when Nathan and I came 3 years ago, we had a big wait list, mm-hmm. you know, of folks. And then Nathan gets to call, or the vetter that we're using at this time helping us vet, because it's a hard job. When they call somebody that's been on the wait list for 2 years, you should hear, are you serious? Am I still on the list? Mm-hmm. You know, because they matter. Mm-hmm. And it's those people that we just, like Nathan calls them unicorns, mm-hmm. you know, that we get to help put in the field of mental health and behavioral health, because we have two kinds of peer workers in New Mexico, and mental health peer worker and a substance use. You put those two together and it's magic. Magic.
So Nathan, you probably get the vast majority of the volunteers, the people who want to be peer support specialists. They come probably at different stages in their own recovery, but they're coming from the throes of addiction and other mental problems and so forth. So
and then what happens?
Yes,
Nathan. after they come to you, what happens?
Okay, good. Yeah, that's a great question. So as a matter of fact, you know, I can get into the requirements for the New Mexico CPSW. So you have to be over the age of 18. You have to hold either a high school diploma or a GED. You have to have been a person that has received behavioral health or mental health services within the state of New Mexico, right, throughout your own recovery process. And you also have to be able to self-attest to 3 or more years of sustained recovery, right? Mm-hmm. And that could either, like Melissa mentioned, it could either, you know, be mental health, it could be substance misuse. We have peer support workers who are, you know, survivors of domestic violence, mm-hmm. right? So wow. Lifestyle choice is also a pathway of recovery, mm-hmm. right? You know, an individual doesn't necessarily have to have mental health challenges or substance misuse in their background to be considered for a New Mexico CPSW. You know, the word recovery, there's a lot of stigma attached mm-hmm. to that word,
right?
Mm-hmm. When people hear recovery, right away their minds go to alcohol or substance use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the definition we like to use is the one that SAMHSA has defined, and it's a more broad definition, right? And at the Office of Peer Recovery and Engagement, we honor each pathway to recovery,
yes.
right? So Narcotics Anonymous may be the right choice for one person, but smart recovery may be the pathway that another person took,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have a really diverse workforce. And, you know, in my opinion, the certified peer support worker is one of the most unique workforces in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is no matter how much money you have, you cannot buy that lived experience that a certified peer support worker mm-hmm. has. You can't just go to a store and buy it. You can't go to Amazon, mm-hmm. right? No matter what college you go to, you mm-hmm. can't go learn this
in
this
class or read about it. Yeah,
right, right. So it's a very unique workforce, and it's a powerful one.
And let's remind our listeners that you referenced SAMHSA. That's the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration,
yes, sir.
Which is a federal agency that does fund a lot of the programs and so forth. So does it fund part of your operation there at the Human Services Department?
Well, we operate on a budget from BHSD and block grants.
Okay.
And we get guidance from SAMHSA all mm-hmm. the time.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of a Region 6 peer support leader.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders, we're attached at the hip with these guys, you know. So it's Arkansas, New Mexico,
Oklahoma,
Louisiana, you know,
yes.
And then Texas. We
right.
we borrow ideas from them. They take ideas from us. We're a partnership, and we're talking to people in different states,
mm-hmm.
and we're learning about peer support, what they do in their states. We have wellness centers in the state of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We had an RFA not too long ago. We vamped it up from 5 wellness centers to 8.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wellness center, and these are all peer-run drop-in wellness centers. If you're on the street and you need a pair of socks or you need a box lunch, come on into our wellness centers. We have them in Española. We have Inside Out in Española. We have mm-hmm. Barrios Unidos in Chimayo. As a matter of fact, when I get out of here today, we're going to go do a overdose awareness walk, you know, in that area.
Who's the director of Barrios Unidos again?
It's okay. I'll give you their names. It's Lupe.
Yeah, Lupe Salazar.
Lupe Salazar.
Yeah,
at Barrios.
Yeah, Lupe's on the SPIF Advisory mm-hmm. Workforce Committee, and she's something else. Yeah.
And then the director of Inside Out in Española also is Kathy Brow.
Yeah.
We have a wellness center in Gallup, New Mexico, run by Ken Collins.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wellness center in Shiprock, New Mexico. Dr. Reverend Shirley Montoya runs that mm-hmm. wellness center. Big shout out to mm-hmm. Albuquerque Center for Hope and Recovery with mm-hmm. Maxine. Mm-hmm. Maxine and Annette running that facility. And then Best Chance in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Forward Flag in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Straight Scoop. It's a traveling wellness center. Mm-hmm. The attached to Forward Flag is the veterans, Roger Pipkins. I forgot to mention us, Stanley. What's Mr. Stanley's last name, Nathan? Weinstein.
There you go.
Stanley Weinstein in Albuquerque. That's a lot to remember, and thank mm-hmm. God, because there was, you know, I was a blackout drinker, so mm-hmm. I didn't remember the next day. I remember mm-hmm. people, places, things today, mm-hmm. you know, and
which wasn't the case before.
Wasn't the case before, Larry. And well, let me tell you. Also, we're also vamping up mm-hmm. since we made this wellness centers full-blown wellness centers, we have some extra funding for, guess what's popping up all over town now, is our faith-based places. Because like Nathan mentioned, so many roads to recovery that people can pull from. You know, there we have resources. We have reentry places for women that are coming out of jails and institutions. I mean, our training program is in the Department of Corrections right now. We have trained three prisons. We have gone to Las Lunas. We have also trained at the Springer facility for the females. And we just recently finished training in at the minimum restricted unit here in Santa Fe. We're going to Las Cruces next.
So what does that training consist of?
Thank you for asking. And as a matter of fact, if it's okay.
I'm on a roll. I'm sorry.
If I can add to what Melissa mentioned about the Department of Corrections, I got to share with you real quick my experience. Going in, first of all, I'm a person that has been behind those walls, right? So being able to walk in and walk back out this time was a really great feeling. But I got to tell you, man, these men and women behind the walls, we have some unicorns back there. We went to vet, you know, a group of men who had applied for the CPSW training. And we, you know, the way that we chose to vet this cohort was to go in person, right? Face to face. Tell me about who you
that's
are.
That's pretty brave.
Yes. I mean, it was very important for us to connect with these folks, right? You know, being a person that's been behind those walls, connecting with something outside of those walls, man, gives you that power and that energy to continue on, right? To finish out your sentence. Each one of these men showed up to this interview pressed in their oranges. I mean, it looked like they iron these things. I know they don't have no irons back there, but, you know, the way you do is you slip it under your mat, right? You slip it the night before and you sleep on top of it, which presses
that'll
it,
that'll flatten
right?
it out.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Sort of a primitive ironing job.
Right.
That's the way I do my shirts, bro.
Hey, no. Sugar water? Yeah, well, sugar water is starch.
Well, you know, Nathan, what you say is so true, because back when I was at the College of Santa Fe, I got involved in a project with the state penitentiary, which was known as Project Newgate. And what it was, we had classmates, Arturo and I, because we were at the College of Santa Fe, who were finishing up their sentences, and we were teaching classes to help prepare them upon their release and their parole to start integrating into society and getting jobs and furthering their education and so forth. And let me tell you, I did some teaching early on in my life, but the best students I ever had were the prisoners.
Thank you. Thank you. That was where I was going to.
Respect.
You heard me. Yes. You heard me.
Yes.
So much respect.
Because they had the most incentive to want to improve because they had reached rock bottom and they knew this is my only way out, you know, and that's why they were so the best students I ever had. They're the most stimulating classes I ever had.
And these men, not only are they walking out with a credential, they're also walking out with associates, because that's what's going on these days behind the walls.
They're walking out with integrity.
Integrity
and hope.
They are meeting our criteria of three or more years. Inside, that's rough. That's hard. It would be a little hard. And they're doing it.
And just to answer your question, so if one was interested in becoming a CPSW or applying, you would go to yes.nm.gov. And if you scroll down to the partner programs, you'll see OPRI. Just click that, and that'll be our website. You can get the application digital, or you can get it written as well. So to kind of share with you what the training week consists of.
Give me the website again. What
yes,
is
sir.
It?
Yes.nm.gov.
nm.gov. Okay, that's the website. Okay.
Yes, sir. And if you scroll, you're going to have to scroll down a little bit. Because that's
scroll
the,
down to what?
OPRI. You'll see the OPRI logo there.
Office of Prevention,
Office of Peer Recovery and Engagement.
Yes. Yes,
that's
sir.
What. Okay.
Okay. Yes.nm.gov. Okay, we'll say it again so people don't lose that. Larry, you want to do your thing?
Yes, it's time to remind our...
He has to do his thing.
It's time to remind our listeners that this is Health Para Todos on Que Suave Radio.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Thank God. I thought I was in the wrong place.
No. 99.9 on your FM dial, 8810 on your AM dial, and KSWVradio.com. if you wish to stream us on the internet. And we're brought to you by Christ of St. Vincent Regional Medical Center, Presbyterian Medical Services, the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department, and the Conalma Foundation. And we have as our guests today, and let me say this, you're among the most exciting guests we've had in a long time, even though we've got a lot of exciting guests. But the message you're providing with us today has just been one of intense interest. And I think we could easily turn this into a three-hour broadcast. Yes. But we have with us Melissa Montaño, who is the office manager of the Peer Recovery and Engagement Program, which is a part of the Behavioral Health Services Division of the New Mexico Department of Human Services Department. And we have also Nathan Lawson, who is a training and development specialist in the OPRI also. And their story has just got to be one of the most compelling stories. I say this probably too many times, but it truly applies here. Arturo and I see this program as a real morale booster because we...
Because we have no morals.
No. Because it's so inspiring to see people who are so passionate about their work and doing the wonderful things that you're doing in the community, you know.
Yeah.
And you're saving lives is what you're doing. You're saving lives because people who are caught up in addiction, in behavioral health problems, poor behaviors and so forth, their lives are just deteriorating, and so many of our fellow citizens, in fact, in a recent report that just came out, New Mexico was number one in the country again in alcohol-related deaths, you know. I mean,
and what in suicide, youth suicide number two.
Right. I know.
Jeez.
It. As former Governor David Cargo used to say, which many people don't remember who he was. But
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
He was the governor at the time.
He was
in 68.
He was greatly loved in northern New Mexico, too. You know, he was, but he made the statement, he says, it seems like New Mexico is just destined to be on the top of all the bad lists and at the bottom of all the good lists. You know, that's what he said. But I know even in those days there was a struggle trying to do mm-hmm. the best we could to try to improve the quality of life. But tell us again, Nathan, you've sort of taken us through the process of where we get peer support applicants, people wanting to do peer support, and the fact that they are then trained, and they receive a great deal of training. They have to meet certain qualification standards. You basically said like 3 years of sobriety and at least 18 years of age and those sorts of things. And so how do they connect when they are actually have become a peer support specialist? How do they go about getting a client, and what happens?
Can we deal with the training, though? I think you were going to talk about the training first.
Yeah.
Let's
okay.
get that
sure.
in there.
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you. So basically, the training is a 5-day training, anywhere between 36 to 40 hours, mm-hmm. really depending on the cohort. And it's a foundational training for folks to enter into the behavioral health workforce, mm-hmm. right? And particularly in the recovery support, mm-hmm. right? Certified peer support workers work in multiple settings, you know, mm-hmm. and they are part of multidisciplinary teams, mm-hmm. right? And that's really when the magic comes together, is when the multidisciplinary teams come together and everybody's able to stay in their own lane. Mm-hmm. So basically that training provides the foundational piece, and it includes ethics, right? We touch mm-hmm. pretty heavily on ethics. You know, being a person in long-term recovery and coming from the lifestyle that I came from, I have to be reminded quite often about ethics mm-hmm. because it's not the way I lived my life before, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or at least at the time I thought I was living by ethics, but in all reality I wasn't.
Well, they were different ethics.
Different ethics, different set of ethics, mind you, yes. So basically, yeah, the training ethics, cultural competency, we go into problem solving skills, communication skills, motivational interviewing.
Okay.
So this is really what the multidiscipline aspect of it is that everybody gets this training in these very highly specialized areas.
Absolutely.
And that better equips them to become a peer support.
Absolutely. And we get to work at residential treatment centers, crisis triage centers, mm-hmm. 988 protocol, the New Mexico peer-to-peer warm line, mm-hmm. jails, institutions,
schools.
Not yet. Where mm-hmm. our hope is to put a peer support worker in the schools. We get to work at drug courts. We get to work where is a peer not?
Yes. Live,
you know.
Right.
So that's basically how they get the clients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're within a structure that refers people to you to work with them, right?
Yes, sir. And being the fact, and Dr. Bowen says this, we really highly, I want to say, motivate providers in the state of New Mexico, hire a peer. We're a billable service through Medicaid.
Oh, right.
And that is where your magic happens at our mental health and behavioral health agencies, where your clients get better and they come back for more. And then the folk, because we know a lot of people in Nuevo Mexico, you know, mm-hmm. we, you know, it worked for me. Why don't you go to like Turning Point? Why don't you go to IOPs, MAT clinics, all those places? Mm-hmm. And the success rate for talking to another peer that, or an agency that has peers hired, mm-hmm. you know, we're helping save lives, senor. You mentioned mm-hmm. that we're mm-hmm. saving lives in our program, and we are, and we know that, but we're at a way top level, and these trench our peers that are in the trenches doing the work
mm-hmm.
these are the places where we're working, and mm-hmm. we also we want them to also self-care is very important for a peer
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
a CPSW to want and to, you know, to stay active in their
does the peer, you know, like you're working in state government, say I was working at the drug court, someone's working in the prison, how do they stay together? Do you give them any level of supervision? And what does that supervision consist of?
Definitely, yeah. So the supervision, that's a great question. Supervision is definitely needed in every profession, right, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, the way that the system is set up now is the supervision is provided by a clinician, mm-hmm. a licensed clinician or up. And that's when it's regarding Medicaid billable services.
Yes.
So that's the requirement that's mm-hmm. set in place to encourage providers and to guide providers on how to provide supervision to peer support workers. Mm-hmm. Internally, we're currently working on a
supervision model
that's led mm-hmm. by peers, right? So peers supervising peers
is what we want, because we believe in nothing about us without us. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I've heard mm-hmm. that before.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so at the wellness center level, where there's peer run centers, you know, mm-hmm. when you go in there, there's not a clinical model in there, but they're also not billing for peer support work mm-hmm. at our wellness centers. They're helping from like, you know.
It sounds like a lot of what they do is what we refer to as comprehensive community support services.
And that is a billable service, CCSS.
Right, which dealing with the basic needs in life.
Yes.
Many of these individuals don't have a place to live. They don't have a job. They don't have a way of getting around transportation-wise to even seek a job, you know, and things like that. So that's what's so very important, you know, and I want to say this in such a way that I'm not criticizing behavioral health therapists, because my company hires behavioral health therapists, and we've got them all over the state and so forth. But, you know, the thing that we have, that I find to be so inspiring about peer support specialists is that these are people who have come from the ranks, not necessarily with the same formal level of education that a behavioral health therapist has, but with a greater understanding of precisely what this person is going through.
Absolutely.
And right now, I'll just go ahead and say this and get a little bit on my soapbox about where the state of the healthcare system in New Mexico is, but we are all struggling. Those of us,
yeah.
organizations that are doing behavioral health services, we can't find behavioral health therapists.
There's no workforce.
You know, there are not enough of them out there. And in fact, it got so acute in Presbyterian Medical Services that we have started to hire, we were given authorization by our board of directors to hire behavioral health therapists from out of state, Texas, Utah, and the state of Washington are the first three states we're starting to recruit from. But most of those people want to stay living where they're living and do services through telehealth or remotely. Mm-hmm. And there's very few who want to go out and into the communities in New Mexico. And as my good friends with the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, NAMI, have said, they said, we have an unlimited resource in all the peer support specialists that are out there, and we've got this major labor shortage. It's time to get them together now.
Thank you. And that really, really quick, you reminded me, sir, of Presbyterian Community Health. We've got peers in emergency room. You know what? Let me just tell you what gives me chills, which yesterday we talked about with our fiscal agent. Having a certified peer support worker in the neonatal unit, that's going on now in five hospitals. We have under the supervision of course, a clinician at a higher level, but Donald Hume, one of the, and I want to say, we call him the oldest, youngest peer in the state of New Mexico. Shout out, Donald, if you're listening. He's got five peers in five hospitals doing the work.
Now, Melissa, why, I'm going to ask you a dumb question. Why would there be a need to have a peer support worker in a neonatal unit?
Stigma. You know, when
who's
there's
stigma?
Just stigma around. It's hard to go to a hospital if you're
But what service? I mean, is it because the mother was on drugs? Is that why?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So they make the mother was on drugs or was abused or something like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Or even the father who's not given birth may be an addict. And now you've got a young child, innocent child coming into the world. And if there's ever a family that's in need of some guidance and services, it's the people that are there at neonatal unit. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. That was not a dumb question. And as we've said before, Arturo, the only dumb question is the one that doesn't get asked.
Yes, and when an addict...
Well, then I got a bunch of questions.
and if you're under the influence and you're afraid to go to the hospital because you have an absence... an abscess on your arm, or you're using that day, or you're an alcoholic that has been through the system, emergency rooms, jails, institution, all of that. I went to many emergency rooms, and I was, when you go to that emergency room, there's the frequent flyer. Mm-hmm. Here she comes again, that kind of stigma. But if there's a peer that meets you there, and is that advocate between the doctor or the ER doctor and the nurses, that helps.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other point that I'll make, because you've raised the issue, of someone giving birth as well as being addicted. And let's give a shout out to Dr. Neil Bowen, wonderful
advocate.
Director
go, Neil.
Of the Behavioral Health Services Division.
All of BHSD leadership.
Way to go, Neil.
Well, one of the things, for those of us in the business who are doing behavioral health services, we're doing quite a bit of Suboxone treatment, for people who are addicted to opioids or heroin addicted and so forth. And in our protocol is if a pregnant woman is addicted, she goes to the top of the list in terms of immediate intervention to try to start working with them to help them out. And it's one of the things that we are so very pleased with in having an agreement with the Holy Cross Medical Center in Taos.
Yes.
There's a project which is known as ROAMS, ROAMS. It's the Rural OB and Access to Maternal Services project that's been funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration.
Yes, sir.
Right. And the reason that Holy Cross wanted to partner with Presbyterian Medical Services is because we've got the health center there in Cuesta, which is one of my clinics, and we provide primary care, but we provide behavioral health care, which includes Suboxone treatment. And then pregnant women need dental services more than just about any other segment of our population, because a lot of the calcium in their bodies is going to the fetus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we've got dental services there also that we can provide. So it shows the importance of trying to intervene at that time. It's not just even the relatives or an absent parent, but it's also oftentimes the woman who is delivering who's got the addiction problem.
Sure. So do you also... Suboxone, do you also train on Narcan?
Yes.
Narcan being the particular treatment that you give to someone who's had an overdose. Mm-hmm.
In the 36 to 40 hour training module, that's a module, Matt. Yeah. Medication assisted treatment.
Right.
So
right.
That's in our program, mm-hmm. but we also partner with Santa Fe Mountain Center to do Narcan trainings around the state. And OPRI gives the CEU to the peer that needs that. Because mm-hmm. every 2 years, we got to certify just like the therapist. Mm-hmm. And what we hold is a credential, not a license. And thank you to the New Mexico Credentialing Board for behavioral health professionals for helping us. We have everything online now. Mm-hmm. We used to have to take a test in person quarterly in Albuquerque. Now, because, can I just say that, you know, COVID, yes, it was horrible, but something really good that came out of that was that we have reached the entire state of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. If you're a peer and you are in that application portal, we will look at your application. We did anyway, but your chances of getting into a training quicker because we have them online is so much better. And we have reached people in Hobbs, Carlsbad, all areas, Gallup, like, you know, the states, you know, the areas of New Mexico on the heat map where weren't reachable. You couldn't travel. Mm-hmm. And so we also got the credentialing board, and we got a great collaboration with them where they have a Prometrics model for testing and Certimi for recertification. So we just pop mm-hmm. things up there. Mm-hmm. And hopefully with the infrastructure, there'll be more bandwidth out there so that people can go in easier and recertify. Mm-hmm. We don't want to lose our peers that have this certification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we also want, you know, more jobs for them. So we're working with internal workforce at BHSD.
Larry, how are we doing time-wise?
Yeah.
Okay, we're down to about our last 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, just one.
Correct. Uh-huh. 8 minutes.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't want to lose.
I was trying to stretch it.
I don't want to lose. Melissa, give us that announcement on Medicaid because I know that's important.
It is very important. I'm just going to do a little plug in here for if you receive Medicaid or SNAP benefits, please make sure the Human Services Department has your most up to date mailing address to ensure written correspondence is mailed to you when needed. You may update your contact information at the yesnm.portal, and that is yes.state.nm.us.
That's the same portal. Did we forget state? yes.nm.gov.
So it's going to be different. So those are going to be two different websites.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this yes.nm.gov is for the OPRI to look at peer support, et cetera.
Yes.
Before we leave, I need for you to give us an idea of how peer support specialists helped people through the COVID problem and are helping people now through the fire issues. Mm-hmm. Talk about the fire issues. How are you helping? Because I know you're active in it.
Wow, this is great, but do you have another hour? No, Dr. Bowen, oh my God, yes. We're talking about Dr. Bowen.
Of course we have an hour.
And it was May the 3rd, May the 2nd or May the 3rd, and he mm-hmm. shot out that email. I'll never forget it, like if it was yesterday. And he said, Melissa, please respond. Boom. And Nathan and I got on the phone together, and we said, we got to get a team of peers up to Glorieta, mm-hmm. May the 2nd. And that started a whole movement. We had 40 in the end, to make a long story short, it won't be short. we all they were housed at the conference
right.
center. Mm-hmm. We had a team of by the first day it was like maybe me and Nathan, but by the end of that month, sir, there was 44 so many different agencies, but 44 mm-hmm. volunteers on the right. OPRI side that showed up at different times, you know, on their days off, Mother's Day, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff, helping with whatever, like sitting like this and talking about, how they were feeling inside because of their houses and their horses and their animals and their pets. Mm-hmm. And to this day, this is how I got to meet Dr. Gonzalez. Now the floods came after that.
Yes.
So
it was fire at first. Now it's the flooding.
Now it's the flood, and mm-hmm. it's continuing.
Right.
And we have mm-hmm. we call them the FEMA peers. Before the fire started, we had this other project, COVID, mm-hmm. called the Hallmark Project.
Mm-hmm.
So that can I just say, when you ask where do peers work, a lot of our peers are employed with the FEMA project right now. And we just shout out to you guys doing the good work out there. Maybe Nathan wants to touch a little bit on what happened.
What else happened out there, Nathan?
Most definitely. You know, I'll just real quick share my personal experience of being there those 28 days. it was heart-filling.
Yes.
To be able to connect with a community that was experiencing that level of crisis. You know, just to kind of also share to continue to share the power of peer support and how a peer support worker can operate in so many different ways and be valuable in so many different ways. You know, one evening we were sitting there in the headquarters, right? And a gentleman comes in yelling and, you know, cursing and this and that. And, you know, there was somebody bystanding, and, you know, I saw them pick up their phone and, you know, they were going to dial 911. You know, so I hopped up out of my chair and I ran to this person that had their phone, and I said, "Ma'am, please just give me 10 minutes and see if I can talk to this person and see what's going on." And, you know, so me and Militia approached him. Long story short, man, this gentleman, right, not only was his house and his property and everything he worked his entire life for in danger of being lost, that day, that night, was his like 7-year anniversary with his wife. And they had just paid off their car, and somebody backed into his car. Right. So crisis on top of crisis on top of crisis. You know, long story short, man, we were able to defuse the situation. You know, we got the cops did have to be involved due to the insurance, right? Because an insurance did have to be submitted, insurance claim. But that we were able to de-escalate the situation without it blowing up.
So the cops came to do the right thing, not to take care of this particular person.
Right.
Well, you know, Nathan and Militia, what you're saying is just so true. I do have to give a shout out to some of the other frontline people that I know, including Presbyterian Medical Services.
They were there.
Staff. And, we had Dr. Linda Stogner show up on her own time. She didn't expect to get paid for anything, but. People didn't have access to their primary care physicians, and they needed prescriptions, and all the pharmacies in Las Vegas had been closed down with the evacuation and so forth. But we had counselors there also talking to people who lost everything, you know, lost their entire lives there, just about.
Or lost a pet or something,
right?
You know?
Exactly. So, well, so they that was I think it. Was probably the finest hour that we've ever had when it comes to the volunteers and the people who really cared and went to great lengths to make sure that they were there to give a helping hand to their fellow human beings who were going through such a difficult period. And it continues with the flooding now.
Yeah.
Now, the National Latino Behavioral Health Association.
We even had music.
Will be out there and working with you guys, the peer support, after September 2nd. So that's going to be... That's going to be fantastic. Join the two forces together. It's going to be the dream team, guys.
Dynamic duo. And Mr. Martinez, I just want to give a big shout out to your team.
Yes.
Because I vividly remember in the services we were providing, it was imperative to have your guys' support, man. And because we were able to identify needs of folks and then just connect them with your folks, man. Yeah. So big shout out. Thank you.
It's great.
It's a collaboration, and it's magic.
Okay.
So, well, we could go on for another 2 hours here and talk about this. And this is just wonderful, the work you're doing.
It's fantastic.
And it's been our honor to have you here on the radio program. But let me just say again, you know, you're an inspiration to all of us. You've shown what the human spirit is really all about. And no matter how adverse it gets, there's always hope, and we can always pull ourselves out.
Absolutely.
I just want to say, Melissa and Nathan, I want to give thanks to the good Lord for both of you and for the programs that you're running. And I ask that the good Lord guide you in your work, keep you strong and active in your work, because you're helping a lot of people, and that in that you find satisfaction to bring even more people and help even more people, because you're doing great work. It's just fantastic. We're blessed, in other words, to have both of you and your organization, your department. Okay, folks, well, that is another touching, heartwarming Health para Todos program. with Arturo Gonzalez and
Larry Martinez,
and with our major technician, IT person, Esteban Gonzalez, and we were so pleased to be able to interview Melissa and Nathan. We asked the good Lord to help those in the fire situation. You know that that things get a little bit easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
That we love the rain, but please bring it a little bit more spread out so it doesn't start taking everyone away in a flood situation. And we'll be back again. So this is Health Para Todos with your hosts, Arturo Gonzalez.
And Larry Martinez. And it's brought to you by Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center, Presbyterian Medical Services, the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department, and the Conalma Foundation.
And remember, anyone can become a peer support. Please support your peers, okay? Because why, Larry?
Because we are New Mexicans, not New Mexicans.
And these guys are New Mexicans, for right. Sure. God bless, and have a good day, everyone.